Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till Brooklyn!
Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, is that in? From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, Europa!
Yeah!
If you want a better go in tonight, kick your roots down, I put my roots down. So we gonna kick it!
Hello there, everybody. Or, as the King Ad Rock would say, hello, Brooklyn! Yes. My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to another episode of the Brouhaha. On today's episode, we will chat with Jason Polk, one of the organizers of Beastie Boys Fan Celebration Day held in New York City last weekend. And our good old friend Rhodey, he will give 20 questions another shot. Now, you may remember that we retired 20 questions for a while because Todd Perry won, and we wanted him to enjoy his victory, but now some time has passed, and we will bring back 20 questions, and we will offer up some new Beastie prizes. Now, over the past few months, after the death of Adam Yauch, people have emailed me asking if I will continue with the Brouhaha. And my answer is very simple, yes. I've got at least 50 years worth of Beastie material to talk about. Maybe 60, maybe 70. This thing will go on forever. Now, there may not be one every week or every month, but when I think of something neat to talk about, or, you know, if AWOL or Glennie Friedman or Mike D or Ad-Rock want to talk, heck yeah, let's have another episode of the Brouhaha. And today I wanted to have an episode because I missed Beastie Boys fan celebration last weekend, and I want to get the lowdown. Although, I did get a nice consolation prize. I got to hang out with Laver in Chicago, and we saw Mixmaster Mike on the ones and twos. I gotta say, though, I felt a little bit out of place. It was odd. It was Lollapalooza weekend, a lot of after parties in Lollapalooza. And the great thing about that festival is it's held right in the middle of the city. The concert ends at 10, and then you spill out into the city, and basically every club and venue has an after party. Jane's Addiction was playing, Band of Horses, Mixmaster Mike. So Laver actually got tickets. He gave me the tickets, and then I reimbursed him. We went to a place called, I think it was the Velour Sky Lounge, and the name should have gave it away because when we ascended to the rooftop bar, 20-something floors above Chicago, there was a lot of gals looking like Kardashians and a lot of dudes looking like dudes who would date Kardashians. I should say the Kardashians that aren't named Kim because no one looked like Kanye West there. Because, you know, Kanye West enters a room, you know it's Kanye West. So, I get, you know what? They were dressed to impress. Laver and I were not. Although Laver impressed me with his 1994-era Beastie Boys shirt. And I was wearing whatever I wore to work that day. So, Mixmaster Mike, we were told he was going to go on at 10, then 11, then 11:30. He went on at midnight. And even though he just brought his laptop, he hooked it up to the turntables, and he did his wiki, 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 wiki. What Beastie Boys songs did he drop? He did 3MCs and 1DJ. And these aren't complete songs. These are just, you know, little hints and elements of the songs. 3MCs and 1DJ, To Check It Out, Intergalactic, and Girls. But, you know, when Mixmaster Mike spins, he's not obliged to play 3 hours of Beastie Boys songs. So it was nice to hear him play those Beastie elements. And when he was spinning, I didn't even notice that there were girls in evening gowns and dudes in silk button-down shirts next to me. I did notice when they bumped into me with their drinks. Come on, people. It's time to dance. Put your drinks down. So those were the Beastie songs that I got to hear from Mixmaster Mike. And then Laver had to leave, I think, around 1, because he is a father of 4, and you have responsibilities when you are a father of 4. You have responsibilities when you're a father of 1. So Laver, thank you. It was good hanging out with you. And he picked me up from work. I had to do one last interview, and we drove around Chicago listening to live Beastie Boys songs, and that was a good time. One more thing before we go to the break and before we talk with Jason Polk. It was bittersweet seeing MCA on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, but I'm so glad that they put that issue out and that they took their time with it, because there was an issue before where I think his name is Peter Dinklage. I know him from Game of Thrones. I think that's his last name. He was on the cover, and a lot of fans were like, come on, you should put an MCA on the cover. But what they did was they waited for the next cycle, and they took their time, and Brian Hyatt wrote a beautiful article about Adam Yauch, and I loved that the article dug deep, because many articles following the death of MCA, you know, gave us basically career highlights. Yes, yeah, License to Ill was the seminal hip-hop album. Yes, it was the first rap album to top the Billboard charts, but as Beastie Boys fans, we've heard that already. And this article was fascinating, and here's the moments I want to talk about. When Kate Schellenbach is talking about hanging out with a young MCA in his parents' living room, and he was fascinated by a lamp that distorted his image. He would just look inside of this lamp and giggle, and I'm sure he would put his hands out like the Beastie Boys always do. And then years later, he discovered the fisheye lens, and not just the world of music videos, but the world of visuals was never the same again. And that all started with a lamp in his parents' living room. How about the part in the article where the Beastie Boys were talking about Adam Yauch rigging a pilot's helmet with a microphone and then doing a year in a day? Now, this was years before cell phone videos, but I would pay $1 million. I don't have $1 million, but I'd pay a lot of money to see a video of MCA in a fighter helmet ripping a year in a day into a microphone, well, into his fighter helmet, which was equipped with a microphone. Ad-Rock talking about MCA. If you're familiar with Gratitude, you know that that bass line has been around for a long time. I think the Beastie Boys, when they were a young band, they would practice it, and then it popped up in the band Brooklyn. And then MCA turns it over to Ad-Rock. Ad-Rock puts lyrics on top of it, crafts a nice song out of it, and MCA is like, yeah, I like what you did. And that meant a lot to Ad-Rock. He was so happy that he impressed MCA. And that little story right there shows you that MCA was the leader of the Beastie Boys. I mean, he is the eldest Beastie Boy, but he was kind of like the coach of the team. You know, if you got a compliment from MCA, that went a long way. I also liked that MCA became a cowboy. Why not? And I forget who told me, but when MCA was promoting Fight for Your Right Revisited, someone told me that he showed up at a screening in full cowboy gear. And I thought to myself, wait, did you say that right? He was wearing like a cowboy hat and a cowboy shirt. They're like, yeah, everything. Cowboy tie, billy goat beard, cowboy boots. So when he was going through his treatment, down in Tennessee, I think it was Tennessee, he would ride horses on Sheryl Crow's ranch, and he embraced the cowboy lifestyle. And then finally, and when I read this, it made my day, pretty much made my month. The Beastie Boys were in the studio late last year. Can you imagine that? And I don't care. Ad-Rock said that most of the time they were telling fart jokes and ordering takeout. But even if you have 8 clean bars from MCA rhyming, please, Mike and Adam, form a song around that. Or even if MCA said something goofy while the mic was on, sample that. Use it as a hook. Build a song around that. So hopefully, I would love to hear what came from that recording session. And I'm not expecting another So What You Won or a Pass the Mic or a Make Some Noise. I don't, just give me MCA Rhymes with some beats on top of it and I will be a happy camper. And then the big news came out yesterday, MCA's will. He doesn't want any of his art or any of his music used in advertising. How awesome is that? And you won't see me in the advertising. Love it. Punk rock in the afterlife. And right now we are going to take a break. And when we come back, Jason Polk will tell us all about Beastie Boys Fan Celebration Day held in New York City last weekend.
Have you always dreamed of being rich? Having nice things? Cars? Limos? Yeah. All the accoutrements of the wealthy? Well, stay tuned and you will see how easy it is to earn free money with the Bill Swenson program. And here he is, Bill Swenson, the money man.
Money!
You are the man. You're the money guy.
Money. Money makes you feel good. Money is so underestimated in
it
our
does.
Society.
It is.
Of importance. Money is the thing that everyone needs to feel great.
Everyone.
And to be who they are.
Yeah.
And do you love money?
Oh.
Do the people in the audience love money?
We all love money.
Everybody wants to know, how can they just make money without doing anything? While you're out playing golf or swimming or eating cheese or
you don't even really,
parachuting?
You don't even really need a telephone. You don't even have to have a telephone.
Yeah, maybe not. You don't. You probably don't even have to have a telephone. I didn't even think about that method. I mean, is it okay if I use that?
The brew. Ha, ha, ha.
We are back on the Brouhaha, and joining me now, Jason Polk, one of the organizers, and help me get this right, of Beastie Boys Fan Celebration Day?
That's it, exactly.
Held in New York City last weekend. A great idea. I wish I could be there. I wish I could have been there, but I wasn't. So you're going to have to tell me explicitly how it was.
It was an amazing time. It was a really amazing time. It was basically like a full day of events on Saturday. At Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we all met at Frederick Douglass Park.
Okay.
Most of us, I think we were like 30-something strong originally.
That's impressive for 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. But yeah, a bunch of us met at Frederick Douglass Park, which is on 101st Street in Amsterdam Ave.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, as a group, we just toured around the city and we checked out a bunch of different Beastie Boys, famous sites in their history.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there. What was the significance of meeting at that park?
Well,
was it just a central location, or did it have something to do with MCA or the Beastie Boys?
It absolutely did. John Barry's house, where they played their first gig.
Wow,
is on,
okay.
On Broadway.
Nice.
So it was just, it was a nice location to meet up, and then we had to like walk a block to see John Barry's house.
So John Barry's house was in Manhattan?
Yes.
Wow, okay. That's crazy to think of a band, especially like a young punk band, jamming out in Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, the building, a lot different than I expected. It's just this like three-story building that I don't know how many square feet his loft would have been, but it definitely wouldn't have been very big. So I really don't know how many people he fit in there for that gig, but it couldn't have been too many.
Okay. I'm fascinated by this, so I'm going to have you take me through every aspect. So then where did you go?
Then we went down, we jumped on a subway train, and we went down to 53rd and 7th.
Okay.
To check out the subway station. a famous subway station because, as I'm sure you know, pretty much every fan remembers the 2004 Letterman performance, where they came out of the subway.
Yes, I'm glad that was included. Because every time I come out of that subway, I'm like, check it out. Now, did you have people? Did you have people singing to check it out while you came up from those steps?
Oh, people! I think so. Yeah, people were rhyming the whole day. So I'm sure we heard some "to check it out" lyrics when we hit that stop.
Now, if you would have gone east, you would have been on 53rd and 3rd, a famous Ramon song, and I believe the Beastie Boys covered that during one of the Tibetan Freedom concerts.
Yes, that's right. That was actually referenced. Someone mentioned 53rd and 3rd, and I was at that Tibetan Freedom concert in
Randall's Island. But I have to point out to non-New Yorkers, going to the east side is a journey. So maybe it's good that you didn't do that.
Oh, man. This was like an 8-hour walk. I think that's how long it took.
That would have added 3 more hours to it. So after you do the subway, where the Beastie Boys rose for their Letterman performance, then where did you go?
I'm pretty sure we headed down to 171A on Avenue A.
Okay.
That was Jerry Williams' recording studio, where they recorded Pollywogs 2.
Wow. Now, what is there now?
It's actually a Bad Burger restaurant. and I should give a shout-out to Bad Burger, because they treated us really well. And
okay.
The owner, I think his name was Pete, told a few of us like a bunch of Beastie Boys stories. Like he knew them way back in the day. Something that he told us that I thought was funny is that they were notorious back then for stealing jackets. So if you invited them to like a party, you had to like watch your jacket.
Wow.
It would go missing.
Okay. Yeah, because many times when you have a party, people just throw all the jackets on a bed. And it's seemingly a free-for-all. You could take anything you want.
Yeah, if the Beastie Boys are at a party, you leave your jacket on. That's what I'm hearing.
All right, so then where did you go?
And then we went down to Oscilloscope Laboratories, which is on Canal Street.
Mm-hmm. Is the Gratitude still up in the windows?
It is.
Nice.
It is. We were really happy to see that. We thought that would be like a really good spot across the street to do a group shot. So we have a really nice group picture that Michelle Lawler took. And can I mention the website where you can?
You can mention whatever you want to mention.
It's the rockandrollpictureshow.com. And right now it's the top link. So if you go to that website, you'll be able to see all the photos that Michelle Lawler took,
That's spelled how it's normally spelled?
Yes.
Rockandrollpictureshow.com.
That's right.
Okay. No, like, abbreviated, no, like, you're not taking any of the vowels out or anything like that?
Well, it's not, the rock N, like the letter N.
Okay, there, okay, it's good I asked that question. N, and no apostrophe, right? Okay.
Or Google it, I'm sure.
Right, yeah, you know, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm taken away from the day. So let's continue. Now, at this point in time, how many people are in your posse?
I never did a head count, but I think it was like 30-some. I mean, we definitely lost a few people along the way because it was a killer, killer hot day.
It
was brutal, so.
I mean, it was hot in Chicago, because I was in Chicago. It was hot in Chicago, and I was calling my wife, and she's like, it's hot here. And I was like, man, I'm like, those guys on the Beastie Boy tour. I'm like, hope they wore some sunscreen.
It's true. Like, it was so brutally hot, but it was amazing, like, how people, like, were troopers. And, the one thing I was really worried about is just people being kind of bummed out about how hot it was. But the people that were on the tour, you know, they just persevered, and they made it a really, really good time.
Okay, and how... On a geek out level from 1 to 10, where are we on the geekometer? Are people dropping some serious beastie knowledge on this tour?
I think so. I think everyone should try to keep it kind of cool. Do you know what I mean? And didn't let their real geekness be known. But yeah, I think anyone that came out, we're pretty hardcore fans.
Okay.
Yeah, the elements were awful that day.
So after Oscilloscope, then where do you guys go?
Then we walked down Canal Street for like about a mile, and then we headed up Christie Street.
Okay.
To Chico 59 Christie Street.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot there, but I mean, anyone that knows the Beastie Boys history knows that that was a place that the Beastie Boys had an apartment, and they also, I believe, used it as a rehearsal space.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a song, obviously. Yeah.
So we hung out there, took a few pictures, and then we headed over to Rivington and Ludlow, which was pretty close. I think it was just a few blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And Rivington and Ludlow is famous for being the location for the Beast or the Paul's Boutique album cover.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was really a highlight for a lot of people, checking that out. There were some amazing photos that I've seen online that people have taken. Some people did some really good panoramics. Michelle did one in particular.
Of course they did!
It looks amazing. It's amazing to compare like now and then. Like even though it looks completely different, the businesses have changed.
You can still tell though.
But yeah, it still has like the feel, the look, you know, the kind of the feel of the album cover. So,
now what store is there right now?
I think it's called Wolf Night. It's a burger joint. I didn't actually go inside. A few people. That was a place where we actually took a break. We took like an hour break for people to get food. So a few of us went to like different locations.
Okay.
But a funny story though. A funny story. I don't know if you know Steve on Point.
I know his. I know his logo, and I know he was thrilled when Ad Rock wore his shirt.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, he went into a bar, and oh man, I wish I could remember the bar just to give the shout out, but I can't remember the name. But he went into a bar that was right around Rivington and Ludlow, just to use the bathroom. And he came out and he said, man, they're playing the Beastie Boys in there.
Whoa!
So, like a bunch of us, like 10 or 15 people went in, and the guy, put on Beastie Boys for the whole time that we were there. So that was pretty cool.
Nice. So that was when you guys took your lunch break. So everyone got to eat and pee and get all their liquids.
Yeah, everyone was refreshed. Yeah, we needed that break.
And then, so you regroup, and then where do you go?
That was before the final stop. But the final stop was a long trip. So we had to jump on the subway. It was about a 30-minute ride to go to Midwood, Brooklyn.
Okay.
Because the MC and the MCA mural that mm-hmm. was done by Team Autre.
Okay.
And that was amazing. That was amazing. We all climbed up the stairs at the FUP subway station to get like a really good view of the mural, and it was just, I mean, the vibe of the group was amazing. Like, it was dead silence, you know, for like the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, we all just kind of sat there, took it in, took pictures. But yeah, I think that was kind of the stop that everyone, or the site that everyone was really looking forward to, and it really moved people.
And I've never seen it in person, but that's probably my favorite tribute mural.
Yeah, it's definitely one that stands out. I mean, there's a lot of really, really awesome ones.
I'm not knocking anyone else's, but it seems very large too. So when you see it in person, is it very big?
Yeah. I don't know the dimensions, but yeah, it seems huge. And I think that location is interesting. We didn't go see it, but I believe it's pretty close to Edward R. Murrow High School, where Adam Yoke went to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another reason why that one stands out so much, is just because it's, you know, where Yoke is from, you know.
Yep. So then you take that all in, and then where do you go? Now, I'm gonna cut you off for 1 second. Around what time is this right now?
This would have been about 3 p.m.
Okay.
So pretty late in the day.
So you've been at it. You've been at it for a while now.
Yeah. And there was some discussion about going over to State Street Park,
mm-hmm.
In Brooklyn. For those that don't know, I believe there's a campaign going on right now to change the name of that park to Adam Yoke Park, or at least change the basketball courts there at that park to
like
Adam Yoke Courts.
Makes sense to me.
I really hope that happens. Every trip to NYC, I'll be going there to play basketball, I'm sure. But I think at that point, we kind of decided as a group that might be a little much, especially since we had a party.
Okay,
right. It was going to be starting at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we all jumped back on the train and took it to yeah, I can't remember the subway stop, but a place really close to the Brooklyn Bridge. So we made a short little walk to the Brooklyn Bridge, and then pretty much all of us, there's a few of us that went in other directions, but a big group of us walked across the bridge and then jumped on the trains and went back to our respective, locations. I went to my hotel.
Okay.
To get refreshed for the party that night.
And now, what time did the party start?
The party started at 8 p.m.
Now, did you guys have to fight for your right to party?
Oh, no. You know what? There was no fighting necessary. It came pretty easy.
Now, where was the bar that you guys had it?
It was at Overlook, which is a bar on 225 44th Street. It's like two blocks from Grand Central Station.
Okay. So more central Manhattan. It wasn't west side, it wasn't east side, because Grand Central is kind of smack dab in the middle of Manhattan.
Yeah, basically in the middle.
Okay.
I mean, it was a really good location for anyone that came out of town, because most people were staying in Midtown. So it was a good location for those people. We actually had two other bars that we had lined up, but they wouldn't be able to handle our capacity. So we kept getting the indication that this party was getting bigger and bigger. So Rachel from Oscope, who's also a big Beastie Boys fan,
mm-hmm.
Reached out to me and told me that she's a regular at Overlook and that they would be more than happy to, to look after us that night. And,
nice.
It was a really big spot. It's two floors with an outdoor patio area, which is beautiful.
Nice.
If anyone's in New York City, I highly recommend checking that place out. The food's great too. So.
So did you guys eat dinner there?
I did. So I think a lot of people got meals and stuff before they came
beforehand.
To the party. I didn't have a whole lot of time. So.
Okay, now did you have a DJ?
Yes, Mr. Pat Poon from New Jersey, who did an amazing, amazing job just playing DC hits all night. And it's pretty impressive because the party went from 8 p.m. till 2 a.m. and
nice.
He didn't repeat a song.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was just awesome.
Now, were people getting out on the dance floor and shaking their thing?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
There isn't actually a dance floor, but there's lots of people just, wherever they could find a spot where, dancing and rhyming, and there's lots of sing-alongs that happened.
Oh.
One thing I have to mention is a man by the name of Dave Sussman showed up at the party
mm-hmm.
a little bit after 8. I think it was 10 after 8. He pulled up right in front of the building in his 76 Caddy. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Oh, no, I saw pictures of that.
Yeah.
Airbrushed Beastie Boy memorabilia and images all over it.
Yes. It was a giant collage. Of the Beastie Boys all over his caddy, and he texted me telling me he was showing up, and I knew he was doing something with his car, and I knew it was Beastie Boy related, but to the extent that he went on this vehicle, I had no idea. So he texted me, I ran outside, my mind was blown instantly. I ran back inside and just started yelling to people, "You gotta get outside! You have to get outside!" And then 40 or 50 of us went outside to check out this car, and it literally brought tears to people's eyes.
Wow. Now, can a photo of that be seen on the rockandrollpictureshow.com?
Yes.
Nice.
There's tons of photos of that vehicle, and it was really nice. And honestly, that was at the very beginning of the party, and that kind of set the tone for the night, People were all in after that vehicle showed, that car showing up.
Now, throughout the sing-alongs and the music being played, and it's awesome that he didn't repeat a song, do you remember a high moment where everyone was particularly into a certain mix or a certain song or a certain batch of songs?
Power of Year, obviously.
Okay.
When that song was played, I don't know how many people sung along, but I'd say most did. And I kind of had the feeling that was going to happen. And obviously, any Yelp solos, really moved and touched people.
Yep.
But I was saying this right after the party, and I've been interested in it almost every day since then. The whole night was such a blur. I wish I you know, I wish I could, like, have taken it in a lot more and had, like, more solid memories of how the night went. But, I mean, the one thing I remember is just that it was an awesome, awesome, like, fun evening. And the people that were there just made it such an amazing time.
Now, did you have a lot of people coming from a lot of different places?
Yeah, yeah, that should be noted. We had, obviously, there's people from New York, people from New Jersey. I, myself, I'm from Canada. My cousins came up as well, and my cousin's wife from Canada. There was people, or there was a girl, Christine, who came from Germany. Susanna, who came from Spain.
Wow.
There was a couple that came from California. A family that came from Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
Like, people came from all over. Oh, and Mike from BC Mania, he came up from Atlanta. Like, this is a big deal to people, you know.
And this was all organized just merely on the message boards?
Basically. I mean, it's something that really evolved, you know, over time. But when MCA passed, everyone was bummed out. And one of the, like, thousand things that I was bummed out about was the thought that our little community, like our little fan community, was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
I realize now that that is not going to happen.
No, of course not.
I think the community is stronger than ever.
Yep.
But at that time, I thought, oh no, like, this thing that's really, like, a big part of my life is going to come to an end soon. And so I threw the idea out there about having a party in New York City. And I thought a really good date would be right around Adam Yurt's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So people were really on board, and people just started throwing out ideas. But it was really just like a really big, like, giant collaboration. Like, everyone just threw out ideas. Like, someone had the idea of doing the walking tour. I don't know, just like a lot of different ideas were thrown out there, and people really came together as a group to kind of, you know, mold it into the night that it was.
Now, was there a Say Adam sighting?
Yes, there was.
So yeah.
Someone else I want to give a big thank you for showing up. He made a lot of people's night. Yeah, he came to the party.
He was there on Saturday?
He didn't come to the tour, but he came.
But he came to the bar? Because I thought he showed up the night before at a bar.
Oh, did he really?
I don't know. Maybe I got my information wrong, but I didn't know that he showed up on Saturday night.
Oh, yes, he did. I think Pootie Tang.
Yeah, Pootie was in town.
Rachel. I don't know, and a few other people get together, like a pizza joint or something like that, the night before.
And then he came the following night. Nice.
Yeah. And it wasn't just an appearance. Like, he showed up and he hung out with everybody, you know, had some, like, long conversations with people, told a lot of stories.
That's great.
Yeah, and that was super appreciated.
Because I was with Laver in Chicago. We got to see Mixmaster Mike, which wasn't a bad thing. But oddly enough, if given the choice, I think I would have rather been in New York City. And we were just saying that through over the years, Say has been the conduit between fans and the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
He's the one that gave us a really good taste. Because sometimes, you know, you would run into the Beastie Boys and, you know, they would talk to you for a minute or two. But Say would actually, you know, sit down for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes and talk serious Beastie with you.
Yeah, and that's what he was doing. It was pretty amazing. I heard rumors that he might show up. I didn't know for sure, and I never want to get my hopes up. But, when he walked through the door, I was pretty excited.
Nice. No Beastie Boys sightings, though, right?
No. Say told us that Adam really wanted to make it,
mm-hmm.
but he had another event that he was involved with that evening.
I totally understand that.
Oh, but another interesting point, I sent a little, like, Facebook message to a bunch of inner circle, you know, Beastie Boy people, just letting them know about the event. If they wanted to drop by and say hi, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But Kathleen Hanna actually went through our walking tour itinerary.
Yeah.
And gave a few other suggestions of places.
Now, what did she suggest?
She suggested 171A. Which I did have originally on there, and then I took it off. I kept wavering, like, what should be on there.
But when she said you put it on, you're like, okay, I got to go with it now.
Exactly. Like, I didn't know if these are going to be like hardcore, you know, Beastie Boys fans, you know what I mean, that care about like every point in their history? Or are they going to be people that are like more interested in like seeing where they like shot different performances and that sort of thing?
Right.
So I decided just to, I mean, after she suggested that, it's like, okay, we have to go there. And so I decided, okay, we're going to approach this as, you know, as a like hardcore Beastie Boys fans that were interested in like every aspect of their history. Which I think really, I mean, the majority of the crowd was that type of crowd.
Mm-hmm. And now she suggested another place, you said?
I hope I pronounced this right, but Wohop Restaurant.
Okay.
She suggested going there. It's on Mott Street.
Yeah, oh, Wohop is, yeah, famous late night joint in New York City.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of small, though. So I checked it out the day before just to see. Like, I really didn't know how many people were going to be showing up to the tour. So we went there the day before just to check it out, and it's kind of small, and it really wasn't able to accommodate our group.
Now, what was the significance of Wohop?
Oh, just like you said, like a common place where the boys would hang out in their early days. She said a lot of late nights were spent at Wohop.
Yeah, and for Beastie Boy fans traveling to New York City, just know that there are two Wohops right next to each other. The legit OG one is the one where you have to walk downstairs.
Yeah, that's the one that I went down to. And, it had limited capacity, but it looked like an awesome, awesome place.
Right, so. You couldn't roll in with 40 people.
No. So, and I had to make a game time decision. You know what I mean? On Canal Street, like, on Canal Street, there's not a lot of, you know, cover.
Yeah.
So we had to walk a mile on Canal, and we were getting hot. So I thought about taking the detour just to go down to Wohop, but I just made a game time decision that, okay, let's truck on to 59 Christie.
Okay. Now, before you go, Jason, just two requests. We've got to do this every year, and I will have to speak with the powers that be and maybe tweak the date.
Okay.
Because Yauch's birthday always or usually falls on Lollapalooza weekend, which means I will never be in New York City.
Okay.
Or maybe we can have like a VIP one, or, you know, a secondary periphery one where I can attend. Because I missed MCA Day and I missed this fan celebration. Both times I was covering stupid music festival. Well, not stupid music festivals, but I was out of the city.
About all this different ideas, but I mean, I think, as you know, after meeting a lot of Beastie Boys fans, one thing we can all kind of agree on is that we kind of celebrate MCA like every single day of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it matters what date it falls on.
Okay,
you know what I mean.
And like, you know, in all fairness, Jason, if you can get like 100 Beastie Boy fans on August 5th, then just don't worry about me. But I want to come to one of these things so badly.
We want you there.
And if I can come next year, I am going to form a Beastie Boys tribute band.
I saw you speak that. I wanted to ask you about that.
Because my band already, I mean, we perform a lot of the hardcore Beastie Boys songs. So I will make sure that we have a lengthy and a tight set full of Beastie classics. Like A Grade on Mojo and I Can't Think Straight, Gratitude, Tough Guy, Heart Attack Man, so on and so forth.
I think we really need to mix it up. Like this year, we played all the recordings, and yeah, some tribute like music would be amazing.
And then, as a special treat, after my tribute band plays, then we're going to have Mixed Master Mike spin a set of nothing but Beastie Boy songs.
Have you already lined him up for that?
Not yet. But I think, you know what? If we do this every year and it becomes bigger and bigger, I think we'll be able to book Mixed Master Mike one year.
I think you're right.
And then we'll get BS2000 to perform, and then maybe if it's late night, 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe Mixmaster Mike does a little wiki wiki whack and Mike D and Ad Rock rhyme over it. Who knows?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
But we gotta stay consistent. We gotta do this every year.
No, you're right. That's one thing that I noticed right away. There's people we're talking about next year. So and a lot of people that weren't able to make it this year said, like, there's no way they're missing it next year. They're going to start saving their money, and they're going to make sure that they make the trip out. So, yeah, I think this has to be something that we keep doing.
Okay. Well, I look forward to it. And to you, Jason, and to everyone who was there, and to everyone who helped organize, I say thank you, because this is awesome stuff. And thank you for chatting today. And Jason actually has to leave now because his landline is officially dead.
This is true. I have to call the phone company right away.
All right. Well, I appreciate you talking with us, Jason.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yep. Take care, man.
All right. You too.
All right. When we come back on the Brouhaha Roadie, we'll give 20 questions another stab.
Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
You get your brouhaha.
The main thing about doing stunt work is safety first. I learned that from Burt Reynolds himself, because if you're not going to be safe, you're not going to be careful with the people around, the people who are in the vicinity watching you do a manly stunt, and you might hurt somebody.
We are back on the Brouhaha, and joining us now, our old pal, Rhodey.
How's it going?
Rhodey Shement?
That's it?
No, go on, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't know if I've ever told you, but I love the way you say my name. It cracks me up every time.
The Rhodey, like, or the Shement?
The Rhodey, because it's like, yeah, I just feel like you're like announcing me. It's pretty cool.
Well, I got an email from you. I forget when, and you said you wanted another stab at 20 questions.
Yep.
So, as you may know, we retired the game for a while, so Todd Perry could enjoy his victory.
Yep.
Because I didn't want to start 20 questions again as the confetti was still falling. So he has his diorama. I'm sure he's played with it. I'm sure he's turned on some Beastie Boy live recordings and just moved the characters around with his fingers. But now we continue with a new era of 20 questions with new prizes to be won. So here's what you will get today. Sadly, I don't have a diorama to give you. I do have a signed Beastie Boys basketball, but unfortunately for you, we are going to give that away to charity. We're going to try to raise money for cancer research. But here's what I will offer you today, Rhodey. I have a 1995 Beastie Boys tour program from the Quadrophonic Stereo Tour.
Nice.
And then for the Beastie Boys music video of your choice, you will get 3 Beastie Boys cardboard cutouts.
Oh, nice.
So for instance, you could go Sure Shot, and you got Mike D in the Gulf Hills shirt. Ad-Rock's wearing his little pinwheel hat. Maybe you go So What You Want, you get the Beastie Boys in their sock caps and t-shirts. Maybe you want to be more, you know, theatrical, get the Beastie Boys and Body Moving. Or you could kick it old school, 3 Beastie Boy cutouts that will stand up that you could put on a bookshelf. You go old school and you get the Beastie Boys and Fight for Right to Party.
I like that.
So not too shabby.
Oh, not at all.
Some might even like this better than the diorama. Because the diorama was what it was. This, you have your own input.
Yeah, that's true.
Switching things up today, all questions will be Adam Yauch related.
Oh, okay.
That could be easier or it could be more difficult.
Yeah, we'll see.
How are you on Yauch trivia?
I feel like I'm pretty good. I remember, you know, I got to say, like, as I listen to the questions, I feel like I usually do pretty well. But I remember one of the ones that I had no idea was a Yauch question. It was like somebody had played guitar at his wedding or something. I think it was like somebody from Rancid or something.
You didn't get that? Oh, no.
I had no idea on that one.
Okay. Now, the last time you were on 20 Questions, what question did you go out on?
I went out on a question about, it was like, I don't remember exactly what the question was, but it was about Anthony Mason being in the Root Down video.
Oh, that was you?
That was me, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Anthony Mason was in the Root Down video, and I guess you do not know your New York Knicks basketball.
I don't know sports in general, so, yeah.
I don't think there's any sports questions, but we're going to start anyway. Oh, so here's the deal. If you're a first-time listener to the Brouhaha, if Rhodey gets 20 questions correctly, he will win the Beastie Prize. Along the journey, if he gets stumped, he has 3 chances for multiple choice. Some questions, the way they're structured, you cannot have multiple choice, but other than that, I would advise you to save the multiple choice for when you really need them.
All right.
Start the music, and we begin with question number one. And like I said, just because this segment of 20 questions is all about one Beastie Boy, it's either going to be easier or a lot more difficult. Number one, what is MCA an acronym for?
Mic Controller Adam. Or no, I'm sorry, Master of Ceremonies Adam.
I will accept that. The A is for Adam, MC for what I am and do. Yes, he is a Master of Ceremonies. Yes, MC Adam, MCA, you are correct. Question number two, what borough was MCA born in?
Oh, man. I don't know if like you'll be able to help me out because I don't know New York as well. Is Brooklyn a borough?
Brooklyn is a borough.
Okay, so I'll go with Brooklyn then.
Brooklyn, you are correct. We got to point out to the fans that Rhodey is a younger Beastie Boys fan, and he is from Florida.
Yeah.
Can we give your age right now?
Sure, 28.
28. So I got 9 years of Beastie Boys experience on you, but you pulled off question number two. Question number three, MCA's uncle, or his uncle twice removed, however, you know, a lot of weird genealogy charts we have to get that. Anyway, Nathaniel Hornblower, what country is he from?
He's from Sweden or Switzerland, depending on which time you refer to. I think he said Sweden in the, I can't believe I'm already flubbing on this. This is not good.
Now remember, it was Rhodey who actually put me in the 20 questions hot seat last year. And I didn't make it to 20. But I made it past three.
I was gonna say I'm not looking like I might not make it four.
You go on to YouTube. There's a video when the Beastie Boys, I think, were on House of Style, and they're talking about that they actually filmed "So What You Want" in Hornblower's home country.
I guess I'll go with multiple choice. I don't know.
Okay, multiple choice: Switzerland, Canada, Brazil, or Russia?
Okay, Switzerland.
Switzerland is correct. Question number four. Around the License to Ill era, Rhodey, what year were you born?
84.
Okay, so you were alive. Around the License to Ill era, when MCA wanted to play some serious rock music, what band was he in, appropriately named after one of the coolest places in all of New York City?
Brooklyn
is correct. The second answer with Brooklyn in it in this game of 20 questions. Question number five, true or false? When they made their cameo in the parody sing-along, MCA did not appear with Ad Rock and Mike D on 30 Rock.
True, he did not appear.
True, he was not there. Question number six. In the music video for Alive, what of the three primary colors is MCA wearing?
Oh, snap.
And if you want multiple choice, you're only going to get three.
I'm thinking yellow, but I feel like Mike D was red, and I think Ad Rock was blue. I don't know if I want to go to multiple choice, though, because if it's just, like, red, yellow, and blue...
Yeah, I'm not going to give you multiple choice, but I will tell you that there are three primary colors, and you might have just named them all.
Yeah.
Although, I think if you get technical about it, I don't think red is a primary color. I think it's magenta, but... Semantics.
Yeah. I'm going to go with my gut. I'll say yellow.
Yellow! Rhodey, you are correct. Question number seven. This category is called Token MCA Songs. I name the album, You name the token MCA song. Hello, Nasty.
I don't know.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I'm going to give you credit for that. Yes! I would also have accepted Flow and Prose.
Oh, okay.
Because MCA teams up with someone on the song, I don't think of that as a token MCA song, but there aren't any other Beastie Boys on that song, so we're going to give it to you.
I appreciate that.
And a shout out to Prof D. He's the one that came up with that phrase, token MCA song. Because for many Beastie albums, there are those token MCA songs. Question number 8. What switch did MCA flip when he wanted to get distortion on his bass?
I know this one too.
You read your Grand Royal magazines.
I'll have to go with multiple choice on
he calls it a style. Anyway, okay, you want multiple choice. Okay.
Yeah.
A, distortion switch. B, gratitude switch. C, Terminator switch. Or D, the hornblower switch.
Terminator switch
is correct. Terminator style at the touch of the tweak. At number 9, there is a black and white still photograph of MCA's parents in what Beastie Boys music video?
Root Down.
Root Down is correct, and that is the music video that tripped you up last time with Anthony Mason. Yes!
Yeah.
Nolan Francis are in Root Down, and there's also an infant picture of MCA in the music video Root Down.
Nice.
Number 10, and I think, I haven't seen this video a ton, but when the Beastie Boys played the Tibetan Freedom Concert at Randall's Island, they released a live version of Root Down, and I want to say that in that video, there's also a picture of Nolan Francis, although not as a young couple, but as an older couple.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
I might be right. I might be wrong, but I think I'm right. Anyway, question number 10. On the cover of Check Your Head, MCA's left hand is doing what?
Covering his mouth.
Covering his mouth is correct. And if any of you follow me on Twitter, a few weeks back, Glennie Friedman answered some of my questions. And the questions began because Glennie Friedman actually released a never-before-seen photograph of the famous Check Your Head image. He says there are three. One was on a t-shirt. One was on the album, obviously. I think the other one was also on a sticker. And then the third one he just released was MCA smiling. And then I had some questions back and forth with Glennie Friedman. And if you are listening to this podcast right now, you can see the little exchange underneath this. But I said, was there ever an intention to do a see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil? He's like, the Beastie Boys really like that idea. He's like, it wasn't intentional, but yeah, they kind of dug it. So if you go with that whole theme, MCA is the one speaking no evil.
Yeah.
And I'm going to break it down even further for you, Rhodey. Mike
All
D
right.
is the only one. You can't see his ears. So I would say
okay.
He's hears no evil. And Ad-Rock is wearing sunglasses. And a lot of times, blind people will wear sunglasses. So he is see no evil.
Right.
It's a stretch. It wasn't intentional. But the Beastie Boys like that interpretation of the album. And to Beastie Nation, no, their positioning was not an ode to Adidas. Glennie Friedman said, conspiracy theory, no! There's no truth to that.
Right.
All right, question number 11. Back to 20 questions. Token MCA songs. You ready, Rhodey?
I guess.
Okay. Get It Together maxi single.
Revolution Time.
Resolution Time is correct. Good one.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is I listened to that song for the first time in a while, like yesterday or the day before, and I never realized that it was just MCA on that song because, like, I always think of it as, like, everyone because Mike D and Ad-Rock are in the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I didn't like, I was just like, wow, this is only MCA on this track, like, as far as the verses go.
It's crazy because Stand Together, when I was younger, it took me probably a year to realize, I'm like, oh, wait a second, that's only MCA. And at the end, of course, Mike D and Ad-Rock joined along, but it took me a while to figure out that MCA was only on Stand Together. And then when I got older, I was like, I kind of, you know, I knew to look out for the token MCA songs.
Right.
Question number 12. True or false, Nathaniel Hornblower directed the music video for Hey Ladies.
False.
You are correct. It was Adam Bernstein. Question number 13. Rhodey's not doing too bad. Name the last official underlined, official in quotations, the last official music video in which MCA appeared.
Because,
you know, for their DVDs and whatnot,
right?
They have like crawl space and what that. No, that those don't count.
Now, does this include? I'm going to, like, are you saying, like, he actually physically appeared?
He physically, not action figure, not someone dressed like him.
Shoot, okay, well, I guess, see, okay, I'm thinking there's, like, a couple different ways you can go with this technically, because I was going to say make some noise, but I think that the short version of that cuts off before they actually show him. So, I don't know, would it be Fight for Your Right Revisited? Are you counting that as a music video?
No, that's a short film.
Okay. Shoot, then it would probably be one of the mix-up videos, but I don't remember what order they came out in. I'll have to go with multiple choice on this one.
All right, this is gonna make you happy, Rhodey.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
A, Open Letter to NYC. B, Triple Trouble. C, To Check It Out. Or D, Right Now. Because they did do videos for the mix-up, but those were never official videos.
Oh, really? Okay. I did not realize.
Because
it
was a series. It was a series of videos, but because I work in music television, I don't think we ever got one of those officially. And I don't think any of the songs off of the mix-up were officially released as singles.
Right. I see.
So if anyone wants to dispute that, please come on the brouhaha. Email me, beastiepodcast@gmail.com, or tweet me, @JimShear. All right, continue, Rhodey.
I'm thinking it's Open Letter, but I know there's... I kind of get confused over that because Open Letter, which this doesn't really make sense, was only released as a single in, like, Europe, I think. But I can't remember if it came out after Right Now, or if that was first.
I will tell you this. It on Solid Gold Hits, all of the songs on Solid Gold Hits are official singles and music videos in the eyes of Beastie Universe. Mm-hmm. So the question you have to ask yourself is this. Is Open Letter on Solid Gold Hits?
We'll go with Open Letter.
Open Letter, you are correct. And sadly, MCA was not in Make Some Noise. And I remember when I was there at the screening, MCA, Mike D, Ad-Rock sitting in front of me. We watch Fight for Your Right Revisited. And then we see the video for Make Some Noise. And I was like, come on. Like, show Yauch and D and Ad-Rock in the police uniforms. It never happens. So
right.
I kind of shake Mike D's chair and I said, you guys aren't in the final cut of your music video? And then Mike D kind of motioned to MCA. He's like, ask him. Because still to this day, my favorite part of Fight for Your Right Revisited is when I see the Beastie Boys on screen.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
I mean, the comedy is great, but when I see MCA, and even though he was sick, there's just something powerful about it. I'm like, yeah, there's the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
And Yauch, it was up to him. He didn't want the Beastie Boys to Make Some Noise, not even ask cops. Not even for a second. All right. Question number 14. In what Hello Nasty song does MCA shout out his wife, Detchen?
I know the lyric. I gotta like get to that. The about like where it comes from. Okay, give me 1 second.
I never met Detchen, although I did see Detchen once, walking with MCA down the street. And I said, "Hey, Adam!" And he came over, and she's probably like, "Great, another damn Beastie Boys fan." Trying to spend some quality time with my husband. Who are you, Jim Shear? So which song is Detchen shouted out in?
Fuck, I can totally think of the lyric and how it goes, but...
Do you want to use your last... You have one more multiple choice, right?
I thought I exhausted them. No, maybe I didn't. I don't know.
Because you used it for... You used it for the one named the last music video in which MCA appeared. You did it in that one. Mm-hmm. I think you used it for one more. Oh, yeah, the Terminator switch question.
And I used it for where Nathaniel Hornblower came from, too.
Oh, you did!
Yeah. Although, for admitting that, I feel like I should get a bonus one.
I'll give you, I'll give you, how can I do this?
Oh, hold on a second. Let me just
go on my iPhone and Google that.
I
that would negate your honesty if you did that.
Right. No, like, I'm just thinking, because... Like, honestly, Hello and Nasty's probably my most listened to album. It sucks. Like, I'm totally... Oh, spacing on it.
I'll say something to you. The song, the album, especially the hip-hop tracks, have a similar feel and vibe to them. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, for me, I get the lyrics from Negotiation Limerick File mixed up with the Grasshopper Unit mixed up with Electrify. The singles obviously stand out.
Right.
But those deep, delicious album cuts from Hello Nasty, sometimes they blend together in the synapses of the brain.
I think I've got it. All right.
Okay.
So this is it. I just want to...
This is an exciting podcast, folks. Hopefully you're still with us. But it's tough being in the hot seat. All right, do you have an answer, Rhodey?
I'm going to go with Grasshopper Unit.
Woo! I might have peaked on that one audio-wise. Grasshopper Unit, you are correct!
Oh, man.
Yeah! Can't stop, won't stop! All right, number 15. Name the music video featured on the Sabotage Home video where MCA descends a mountain on his snowboard.
Mullet head
is correct. Rhodey, question number 16. What comedian portrayed Nathaniel Hornblower on both the short film preceding Awesome I Shot That and Make Some Noise?
David Cross.
David Cross is correct. Question number 17. Apparently, MCA did not get his wish for this on Check Your Head, but he did get it for the mix-up. What was his wish? What was his intentions?
To make an all-instrumental album.
All-instrumental album is correct. Question number 18. In what Beastie Boys song does MCA promise that Nathaniel Hornblower will go into the Swiss Hall of Fame?
Oh, man. That must be one with distorted vocals, because that does not sound familiar.
I think in the whole rhyme scheme, Nathaniel Hornblower is frozen like Walt Disney and just shipped off into outer space. But he also goes into the Swiss Hall of Fame.
Is this... If this is the Grasshopper Unit again, that's what I'm thinking it is. And I might never listen to the song again.
Final, you're all out of multiple choice.
Yeah.
Final, Grasshopper
I'm
Unit.
I'm going with Grasshopper Unit, final.
You are correct! Question number 19. What instrument, if any, did MCA play when the Beastie Boys performed The Maestro live?
Like a stand-up cello, I think.
This is a tricky one. And they haven't played this song in many, many, many years. Although, you know what? They might have played it during the, when they toured off the mix-up, during one of those gala events.
Is this a, oh, man. Because he did play cello sometimes, didn't he? Or was that just like
a studio? Oh, the man was, he was brilliant.
He played it all.
I don't know if you saw the Quadraphonic Stereo Tour of 1995. MCA, Mike D, and Ad Rock, they get on three drum sets and they just start banging on those drums. Who knew MCA could play drums?
Man. There's multiple choices coming handy right now.
Oh, they would. They would.
Yeah.
But this is impressive. We haven't had 20 questions for a while. Rhodey comes on, takes it to question number 19. Who knows? He may win today.
And this was, you said, in Sydney?
No. Not Sydney. What instrument, if any?
Oh, if any.
If any, did MCA play when the Beastie Boys performed The Maestro live?
Huh. Now I'm thinking of, like, the Maestro on the Root Down EP, and I know he's not on it on vocals, but I know there's, like, congas on it. I'm wondering if that was him. Shit.
When's the first time you saw the Beastie Boys perform live?
First and only time was on the pageant tour.
2004.
Yeah, they definitely did not play the Maestro.
If only you could have been with me at Lollapalooza 1994. Or the Quadraphonic Stereo Tour of 1995. When you were 10 and 11 years old.
That'd be pretty awesome.
And I would have given you a pair of headphones so we wouldn't damage your hearing.
Man. Well, you said if any on the instrument thing. But then again, I can't imagine him just, like, sitting by idly on stage. So, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to go with, I guess I'll go with bass. Why not?
Bass. Final answer.
Final.
Rhodey, you are incorrect. Very impressive, though.
Thank you.
And as an older Beastie Boys fan, and there are even older Beastie Boys fans than me, mad respect to you.
Well, thank you.
To go to question number 19, because a lot of your education was probably, you know, backtracking.
Mm-hmm.
Studying, it's like studying great literature or studying history.
Right.
You could be a Beastie history major in college. Well, you're out of college now, but you could have been.
Yeah, we got to preserve this for future generations.
Yes, and you need to come to Beastie Boys Fan Day next year.
Oh, absolutely.
Have you done any remixes lately?
I have not, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, when you do, you let us know. Do you want to know the answer?
Of course.
When the Beastie Boys performed The Maestro live, MCA, believe it or not, would play guitar. He would play a distorted guitar.
Yeah. Now, would you mind sharing question 20? Just
no,
to see what
you
was?
Know what? It's a celebration of MCA. Let's see what would have happened if you got to question number 20.
Okay.
And it's kind of fitting that the question is what it is. On the infomercial that the Beastie Boys put out promoting the album Hello Nasty, MCA portrays the Money Man. Who is the Money Man?
Yeah, I would have gone out on this one anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have no
People
idea.
People love money.
Yeah, I can remember it.
People make money and they love money. Bill Swenson would not be a fan of what MCA did in his will. Mm. Bill Swenson would say, "Now, why would you do that, Adam? Your family could make so much money off of your likeness and your music and your art. But yeah. Bill Swenson was different than MCA was. Bill Swenson was the money man.
Oh, okay. That was a good question, though. I like that.
Okay.
I like that infomercials. I was a little bummed out that they never put it on DVD or anything.
Oh. The thing is, when the Beastie Boys put out To the Five Boroughs,
mm-hmm.
they released an EPK.
Uh-huh.
And on that EPK, which is a DVD, is the infomercial.
Oh, okay.
So if
do you
could,
have that?
I do have that. So if you could get your hands on that, digital quality infomercial.
Yeah, I remember when they put out the video anthology, they said that they didn't put it on there because there wasn't, like, a corresponding video. But I was like, man, that would have been, like, a great Easter egg, you know? Like,
yeah.
Just, like, playing around in the menus, and then all of a sudden you come across that. Yeah.
I know. So I'm sure someone could hook you up with the digital version of the infomercial.
Yeah.
Where can you be found, Rhodey?
I'm in the streets of Seminole, Florida.
But you're on Beastie Remixes or Beastie Mixes?
Yeah, Beastie Mixes, and I'm on the forum.
And what's your screen name?
Just Rhodey. It's always just Rhodey or Rhodey Remix, either one.
Okay. So if anyone has the infomercial, please give that to Rhodey. And another thing that the Beastie Boys did is when they put out the Solid Gold Hits, they did mm-hmm. a little video commentary when they were dressed in lab coats. And that is also comical. That's on YouTube right now, but I would love to have a digital version of that, and that I do not have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Rhodey, thank you for bringing back 20 questions, and thank you for performing so well, because we actually got to read all 20 MCA questions.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yes. So for Jason Polk and Rhodey Shement, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.
That's it, that's all there is. Come on. Great.
Yo, we gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
This is the brouhaha.